Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. And today is Sunday, January 29th, 2017.
Hey guys, thanks for being here tonight and listening to our podcast here. Don't forget to share the show with your friends. We would greatly appreciate it if you would subscribe and rate the show on iTunes, since this helps us with getting the word out about the Two Bobs. Please let us know what you thought about the episode and welcome any ideas for future shows. See thetwobobs.com for the rest of our contact information. Speaking of feedback, anything good over the last week, Robert?
Yeah, actually, we've definitely seen some good growth, which both of us, heartily thank everybody out there that's been able to share the Two Bobs show with all your friends, family. We've gotten a couple more reviews here on iTunes, and I'll go ahead and read those. We do have several more 5-star ratings, so thank you for those, even if you didn't type out a message. But I've got two here to read from you, and then we'll head into the loyal listener line. But the first one is from Two Bob Fan, and it's titled Unbiased. And this one says, had us laughing at the home. Keep up the good work, guys. The second one is, great podcast. Enjoy listening to your podcast at work. Keep up the good work, Bobs. So that's always good to hear, even the Two Bob Fan that says they weren't biased. But when I first read it, I had to laugh because it had us laughing at the home. And I kept thinking back to our friend there that, I'm wondering if she was listening at the home or if that was just a typo by somebody. But
she's spreading the word at the old folks' home.
Yeah. I noticed that she had a phone number.
Oh, man. That doesn't get old.
It does not get old. But we did get a couple other calls.
Yeah. I was going to say, I like the one, too, that was listening to us at work. So, while they should be working and being productive, they're listening to the Two Bobs. So, that's how important we are to their daily activities.
I'm a big podcast listener at work, but it depends on what I'm doing. If I have to, type a lot of emails or do a lot of things at reading, then that's kind of hard. But if I'm doing budgets or something like that, where it's just numbers and stuff like that, that it's easier for me to just have that in the background, but it really depends on the podcast. So I can definitely see where that person's coming from. But next up, we've got a couple phone calls that we got. This one is regarding your Jesus fish.
Fish aren't pets. They are high-maintenance decorations.
So, and that kind of echoes, that caller echoed a lot what we talked about last week, where fish are just a big pain in the ass.
I wish that guy had told me that 6 years ago before we bought the Jesus fish, and I had to sort of take care of it for 5 or 6 years before it finally decided to kick the bucket.
That's right. Think of the heartache you would have saved. This next one actually came in and had me chuckling from the second that I saw it come in, and I didn't originally recognize the phone number, but then once it started off, I knew exactly who it was.
Hi, I'm just calling to congratulate the two of you on the new podcast. It's been entertaining, and it sounds great, too. So good work on the audio quality and what you've got set up there. It's exceptional. I'm actually calling as somebody that was present when Robert defiantly decided to leave the apartment that drunken night. Uh-oh. And make his 15-mile trek back home. I'm confident that he actually had a better chance of making it driving than the walk itself. So we're happy that he did run into whoever it was that was wandering around outside that night, and a rational thought prevailed, and he decided to return. I think we're all better off for that, especially him. So I just wanted to share that little tidbit, and again, congrats on everything. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to hearing more. Take care, guys.
All right.
Hey, nice guy. Yeah. Is it ironic that we're both sipping beer as we're listening to that?
That's true. The story that I told regarding that was one that my wife Melissa had remembered and then told me, I thought you were going to tell that. And that's Chris, who's a friend of mine from college, and we still keep in touch. And I'm not sure exactly how he found out about us, probably through the various sharing, which, like we said earlier, is working and is helping out. Kind of unprompted, he left that voicemail. So I did reach out to him after we did and told him how, you know, how excited I was specifically since I, you know, had the firsthand knowledge of who he was. But I, you know, it's really cool to get calls like that. So we're hoping we get more from everybody.
Oh, for sure. So speaking of us sipping our beers, what you drinking over there?
Well, this is kind of our first time doing this. So, you know, what are we drinking here? So the Bobs, at least this Bob, is enjoying the Ghost APA. So that's American Pale Ale by Three Notched Brewing Company. It's in Charlottesville, Virginia, which is not too far from me. And it's actually quite good. I got it in a frosted glass, and it's almost gone. So I'll be looking for something to supplement it soon. How about you?
I am drinking a vanilla Java Porter by Atwater Brewery. They're based out of Detroit.
Uh-huh.
So they're a local brewery. They've been around for a long time. They distribute kind of locally and regionally. But it's good stuff. I like the maltier beer. So you'll usually catch me drinking like either the porters or the stouts, you know, kind of those darker, maltier beers. I'm not a fan of the hoppier stuff. You'll never catch me drinking a lager. If I'm drinking a lager on the show, I'm probably dead by the time you hear this.
Now
something terrible has happened.
Yeah, I like the stronger flavors. You know, you're tending more like the smooth. I'm a big coffee fan, so there are a few of those that are out there that have the, you know, coffee tones to them, and I do enjoy
this one. Has a really nice the vanilla and the Java notes are really nice in it.
Yeah, I do enjoy those. So that'll probably be one I'll have to pick up for myself at some point. But I tend to like the stronger flavors. I like, you know, when I go out to breakfast, I order the grapefruit juice instead of the orange juice. I like the, you know, I guess that punch in the gut really taste to it, and I can't get enough of it. Melissa hates it, and she'll drink what you have, and I'll have this. So There's never any issue with running out. As long as you know what you picked and kept in the refrigerator, you know it's always there for you.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that Melissa drinks the darker beers,
yeah,
kind of like I do. Mm-hmm. Kelly, she tends to go for the lighter beers. She's actually more of a Coors Light. She does like the lagers, and she likes some of the hoppier stuff, which is really funny. She'll never drink the beer that I get. It's funny. Kelly has more of your taste,
yeah,
in beer, and I think Melissa definitely has my taste in beer.
Yes.
So I can appreciate that about her.
Oh, good. Yeah, she definitely likes those. I mean, she likes if you pour it and it's black, that's really what she likes. So
if you can see through it, I'm not drinking it.
Yeah, this is like a dark orange, so it's good.
I can see it. I'll drink. If there's nothing else around, I might go for an IPA, yeah, but usually I'm into the darker stuff.
I could have sworn you sent me a picture of when you were drinking at some point after work at like a happy hour or something. So I think you have shared that. So when you said you didn't like it, I was almost partly surprised because I'm pretty sure I've seen something that you had, but maybe, you know, maybe I was projecting.
Listen, Robert, if somebody else is paying for the beer, I'll drink anything you want.
That's probably what it was.
If I'm going to the store and paying for it, I'm getting what I want, though.
That's true. Yeah, we definitely don't want to drive the wives crazy with our various beer talk. So,
I mean, we drive them crazy with enough stuff as it is, right?
That's true. I mean, I'm as close to perfect as it gets. You know, if I had to ask, you know, ask Melissa if I drove her crazy, she might even have a hard time coming up with something. But, you know, push come to shove, I can probably think of a few things, but you know, again, I know you're different, you know, just like with the beer, you're different. You probably have an easier time coming up with a list, but you know, if you had to think of something, anything that drives Kelly crazy, what would it be?
Why is it so much easier for me to come up with a list? You know, at one point, every time we record a podcast, I think for just one second, this might just be the last podcast that we record. We'll see how the rest of this episode goes, Robert. No, there's plenty of stuff. In fact, I asked Kelly some of the things, and then I came up with some more things and reminded her of all the things that irritate, you know, her, about me. So I came up with a pretty good list here. So the first one that she mentioned was the sound of me eating. Uh-huh. I don't think I'm a loud eater in particular, but anytime I'm sitting there eating anything, really anything, drinking anything while we're sitting there like watching TV, I just look over and she's just got daggers on me because she just can't stand that sound.
No.
Again, I don't think it's me. I think it's more her than me on that one, though.
I hate to do it to you, but I think it is you. Because I got two kids upstairs that, when they eat chips, and they're going to listen to this and come back, it drives me batshit. It's crunching, and it's like, you know, yeah. I think always, but because my mom and dad were always around me, close your mouth. So, you know, they go through.
Everybody's got to eat, though.
Their lips are nowhere near touching, and it's just crunch. It's crunch. It's
my
crunch.
Lips are closed when I'm eating.
No.
I'm not. When I eat chips, it's not any louder than anybody else eating chips, Robert. If it's going to bother you, you know.
Just you talking about eating chips is driving me crazy, and I don't live with you, so I'll have to side with her on this one.
Again, it's you. It's you and it's Kelly. It's not me. I eat like a normal person. How about anything? I know it was, you know, it was tough for you, but did you at least come up with one thing that bothers you or that bothers Melissa that you do?
I did, and only because I did it earlier today, but the big thing that's kind of like my go-to line is, did she mention me? And that's always one that gets her because, you know, I don't know. I knew that it, you know, the first time that I said it and it got to her, I just held on to it, you know.
Wait, so tell me the context of did she mention me? So like,
context.
Give me a scenario.
All right, context is, you know, talking about anybody. If it's a, you know, a coworker, and I don't even have to know the person, but just knowing that the person is a woman or a female, I will always, you know, she'll be telling me a story about something that happened, and just kind of right at the end when she's done, did she mention me? You know, just kind of drives her up the wall because, like, well, no, why would she mention you? What do you care? You know, that's one.
Do you ever say did he mention me? Do you ever use that one?
Well, knowing me, I probably did, but I can't think of any time that I did. But you know, it wouldn't be surprising if I had ever pulled that one out of the hat.
Trump's getting to you, hasn't he?
we can save that for another day. We don't have enough time.
No. We like to keep this to about 45 minutes here. Right. So another one that I do, and Kelly, I think it's more her than me. Mm-hmm. She says that I do this. So, okay, well, okay, if we're being honest, it's just you and I. Nobody else is listening. No. I do tend to do this, but yeah, you know, but we'll just pretend. It's just you and I right this second. It's inconvenient pooping. So, for instance, you know, as a guy with two young kids, there's only so many places I can go just for a couple of minutes of alone time.
Right.
And Kelly noticed that I kind of maybe a little bit schedule my bathroom time around inconvenient times, which are usually times where the kids are just being assholes. So I, you know, they're getting to me and then all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, gotta poop. And
that's right.
And then I've gone for a good amount of time. I will say, I think sometimes it's legit. But you know, maybe sometimes I might just say, okay, I need a couple of minutes here. So I'll go off and maybe I go, maybe I don't. But
I mean, as dads and husbands, we do a lot of heavy lifting around here. So just, I mean, to need 15, 20, 25 minutes to go to the bathroom is, I mean, it's something that we're due, you know, it's not like anything that, you know, anything, but you know, anybody should frown upon it. It's, you know, it's all right, really. So I see you there. I'll side with you on that one. Cause you know, I don't know, you know, I'm not confessing to anything, but I may or may not have done the same thing. So I'll side with you on that one.
I appreciate that. Did you come up with anything else, Rob? Again, I know this was tough for you. This is a tough assignment.
It was. The other one that I know drives her crazy, and I laugh thinking about it, is how I take my socks off. So usually it doesn't have to do with my work socks, which are, you know, the typical men's black socks, you know, the gold toe and all that stuff from Sears. But, you know,
gotta love gold toe. White,
I mean, they're durable. They last forever. The ones that I have here, I think, were passed down to me from my father-in-law. So, but usually the white socks that I wear on weekends or, you know, on days that I work from home and I don't have to dress up for the office or anything like that is, you know, the ankle-high white socks. So usually my MO is to go into the room, you know, I do my shirt and I do the pants, and then to take my socks off, I don't have to bend down. I just plant my foot against the carpet and slide it back. And the one sock will be left there. I plant the other one, slide it back. And then, you know, 99 times out of 100, I'll pick the socks up and put them in the hamper. But, she goes, you know, I won't say she goes crazy, but it is something kind of like your chip thing. It does drive her crazy that I take my socks off that way. But, you know, hey, got to be efficient and just do it all kind of in one sweep, and the socks are there on the carpet.
Oh, that's funny. Actually, now that you bring up socks, there is this is the way I do socks. I wear socks, of course, all day at work. So I get home from work, I take my dress socks off, throw them in the hamper, put white socks on, regular, you know, white gold toe white socks. Yep. I do some stuff usually in the kitchen. The kids go to sleep sometimes not that long after that. I sit on the couch, and sometimes this is just a couple minutes later, I sit on the couch, take my socks off, throw them on the floor. And, you know, while you said 99 out of 100 times you pick them up, 99 out of 100 times I just leave them there on the floor, and magically they disappear by the time I get home from work the next day.
You have a sock fairy too?
Amazing. Oh, amazing.
That's how I feel about putting my clothes in the hamper. You know, I drop them in there, and then, you know, usually a couple of days later they end up back. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, they hang themselves up in the closet. They put themselves. I mean, it's amazing.
We really are lucky.
I don't know who's doing it, but it's great. But and then sometimes, like you said, like you wear ankle high socks, so yours come right off. Mine, I usually wear like crews or the ones that go up a little bit higher than that.
Yeah.
But I'll be sitting on the couch with the ottoman. Legs up on the ottoman. I don't feel like bending over and taking them off, so I sit there and like try to pry, like jam my other toe into the sock and pull them off with my other feet.
You need shorter socks, my friend.
Which drives Kelly nuts. Sometimes she'll actually walk up and just yank them off of my ankles and throw them on the floor, like in a fit of rage. That's, it bothers her.
So, I know. Well, hey, yeah. You know, there's the small things that get them upset sometimes.
Yeah. Enough about socks, though. Another thing that I do. I got a whole list here, man.
Well, see, that's what I said, and you got mad at me.
Maybe you're right. Doesn't mean I have to accept it, though. Another thing I tend to do.
I'm always right, by the way.
And I don't purpose. Maybe I don't know. Waiting for Kelly to get up and go into the kitchen, and then ask for something from the kitchen, just so I don't have to get up and go get it myself. I do that a lot. Not gonna lie.
No, that's another one. That's another one.
Also, I think that I have incredible spatial intelligence.
Yeah.
If you give me a pile of shit and a box and say, fit all this shit into the box, I'm going to do it. I'll find a way to do it. I do the same thing with the dishwasher. So I also have a tendency to rearrange the entire dishwasher after Kelly's loaded it, because I always think in my mind that I can fit just a couple more dishes in if I put this in. I've developed a method that works perfect in our particular dishwasher, and it drives me nuts when she doesn't follow it. Mm-hmm. But it drives her nuts that I'm always rearranging her dishes that she's put away.
Yeah. Well, her dad was like that growing up, where nobody was allowed to do the dishwasher. So he was kind of that very Tetris-y, you know, engineer way where he could get everything in there. Whereas here we just keep loading stuff in until we can't rearrange it enough to get anything else in there. Slam the thing shut, put it on pots and pans, and wash it.
You put it on pots and pans every time?
No, usually just regular wash. If it's really full, you know, then, yeah, it goes on pots and pans or it goes on heavy. But it's rare. I tend to use that. I don't think anybody else does. I think, you know, when it's my turn to actually push it, because I put the last possible thing that will fit in there, then I'll, you know, and if it's really full, I put it on pots and pans just to get it. And it probably, I don't even really know what it does, but to me, it's like knocking the heavy stuff off. So if there's a lot of dishes in there, I feel like it needs extra power.
Ours has an auto mode. I just trust that it knows how to wash the dishes better than I do. So yeah. I just go with that. Do you got anything else? Because I have one more that I need to touch on.
Oh, man. That's it?
All right. Well, you mentioned
I mocked you saying that you had this list and how awesome I am, which I am.
And this was your idea.
Well, that's probably why I came up. Don't say that. That's a secret. And I'm the one that didn't share it with my wife, and I still have a list. You had help.
You're unloading here.
Your list. So you mentioned spatial things earlier. One of my things is when I drive, I drive a smaller car, and I don't tend to do it in her car, but I'm really good at what I call shoot the gap. And I learned that term 1,000 years ago when I was a kid. And I can, like, in our car is a two-car garage, and we both share the thing. I can come in there quickly. Or I used to live in DC, so I got used to going through tight spaces. If there's like a narrow enough area for me to get my car through, I can usually take it at speed without slowing down and get through there. And she's all, you're shaking your head. I can just envision her. She usually closes her eyes. Like eventually, and it has happened one time, which I don't know that she knows that, but where I did lose a mirror, but it wasn't my fault. I was taking a ramp and I realized I was taking the wrong exit and I kind of swerved to get back on the highway and, took off a side mirror, but I've never done it in any other time. But I do it constantly. It drives her crazy. But, you know, kind of mix of being a spatial, you know, genius that I am. And then, being comfortable in my car. And I always tell her that I'm a highly trained professional. So I'm not a professional driver, but the way I drive is. The other thing that I do is, and I just did it, I want to say yesterday, I hate straws, and I think that's even on my Twitter profile. It says hater of straws. I don't use them for anything but milkshakes and smoothies, you know, things like that. But, you know, if I go to Subway, I go to, you know, McDonald's, Wendy's, or any restaurant that gives you a straw, even Starbucks, they always hand me a straw and I leave it there and they like freak out. Like, how are you going to drink that without a straw? I don't use a straw. So I'll usually, a lot of times I'll take off the lid and I'll toss it and then we'll get in the car. Using an open container, she's always concerned it's going to spill. And I've even used just like a regular coffee mug in the car, not even a travel mug. I brought that into the car. It drives her crazy. But again, being a professional, I can get away with these things that, you know, mere mortals
being
can't.
Professional. You can't. Oh yeah, that's right. Cause you're shooting the gap and
I'm shooting, you know, the gap and taking my son, you know.
That's taking mirrors off when it's not your fault, and you're down in Virginia, so you probably don't have as many potholes. See,
we do. The statute of limitations on that is over, so yeah. I can't get in any more trouble for that mirror.
True story. My last one, and you know, you mentioned, you know, one thing that you say, and I've made the references for The Office here on the show before. Yes, it's one of my favorite shows. If there's nothing to watch on TV, or even sometimes when there is something to watch on TV, I will watch reruns of The Office. And in fact, we're doing it right now. We're on midway through season 5 right now, just binge watching all The Office episodes.
Yeah.
But the famous Michael Scott, what I always say that really just pisses her off is, "That's what she said."
That's what she said.
There it is right there. So if you know that line, if you've ever watched The Office, and it's just, there's not a day that goes by that I don't say that line.
It doesn't get old.
Ever. No, it doesn't. And there's so many times, you'll hear me say it on the podcast sometimes, I promise you. But there's not a day that goes by, and there's not a time that I say that it just doesn't drive Kelly nuts. So that probably might be my last thing. Other than that, though, I think I'm perfect, actually. I mean, you know, we have things that piss our wives off, but, you know, at the same time, I think we're both pretty good husbands. We help around the house, things like that. Yeah. You know, there's definitely, actually speaking of that, I help out, but, you know, there's some things that I just can't stand doing around the house.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking about it the other day. The bathrooms are getting a little dirty, and it's my job to clean the bathrooms.
Yeah.
And I will clean the bathrooms, but I hate cleaning the bathrooms, I gotta tell you. Not as much as Kelly, but I hate cleaning the bathrooms.
Yeah, the bathrooms are generally pretty gross, you know, no matter what. I mean, the sinks are generally okay.
I don't put my hands anywhere near where I poop. I'm sorry.
That's right. Or you poop when you're supposed to be helping out with the kids, right?
We've said poop a lot in this episode.
I don't have any sound for that.
But, Robert got to add something to the soundboard for that.
I do have room, so we'll get it in there, but... Yeah, I mean,
that's bathrooms are tough. What do you got?
Bathrooms are tough, and even areas you think aren't going to be messy, they're always messy. Another thing that, you know, I hate it, and we actually both hate it, and it's not really something. I mean, at least cleaning the bathrooms and doing the kitchen and stuff like that, you can hire somebody to do. And we have somebody to come every, not very often because it gets to be expensive, but just to get the stuff that you just don't want to touch. But one thing that you really can't, I don't think you can't get help with, and we both despise it, but is laundry. You know, there's four of us here, just like at your house, but it always seems to pile up beyond, particularly with a teenager who has to do wardrobe changes no matter what. And this stuff just ends up piling up. So it you know, really after every couple of days, it's almost like there's another couple of loads that have to be done. And that's one of the worst.
I'm impressed that you can go a couple of days without doing laundry.
I can. You know, I didn't say, you know, the household could, but, you know, kind of like that sock fairy. There is a laundry fairy, too. So she probably needs to be paid a little bit more than she is paid, but she is appreciated for sure.
See, I have a lawn fairy. His name is Brian.
Yeah,
he comes out once a week and cuts my grass, and so I do hire that work out just because. I mean, I have a long drive to work and everything like that. By the time I get home, I want to play with the kids. I don't want to cut the grass, you know. But what I found with chores is that, you know, Kelly and I, our dislikes complement each other. Hopefully, you and Melissa have this, but like. For instance, I don't like the bathrooms. Yes, I don't like the bathrooms, but I do them begrudgingly because I know that Kelly hates them. She's not a big fan of like chemicals and things like that. And I'm sorry, but you can't get a bathroom clean without chemicals. You know, baking soda and lime juice only go so far.
Yeah, well, some of those things that, you know, the squeeze bottles and all that say, you know, hey, this is, you know, good for the water and good for the environment and all that stuff. Yeah. But. I don't know. I need the stuff that you know is going to work and it's going to kill everything.
Corrosive.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. If there aren't at least three warnings on the back, I don't want it.
If it doesn't tell me I need to
open a window and not, you know, operate heavy machinery within a half hour after being exposed to this, I don't want anything to do with it as far as cleaning the bathrooms. But one thing that I will say is if there's anything that I hate more than the bathrooms, it's doing the floors. I just hate doing the floors, whether it be vacuuming the carpet, doing the kitchen floors. Anything like that. And one thing I can... Kelly does that. So I think our dislikes kind of complement each other because what I really hate, she'll do, and what she really hates,
yeah,
I try to do sometimes.
You've got the floor fairy, too. That's really something, you know, with cleaning that you kind of have to tag team in. It's almost like, you know, going to the grocery store for a big run. It's like, all right, well, I'm going to go over to this side, and you go over to this side, and we'll meet somewhere in the middle. It's kind of the same thing with cleaning. You have to... you know, divide and conquer and take, you know, one floor versus the other, or, you know, hey, I'm going to hit the bathrooms while you do the, you know, the vacuuming of all the floors and, you know, tackle it that way. And then when you're done, you're both done and you can go about doing whatever else, but, you know, getting the cooperation of each other and getting the cooperation of the kids to kind of stay out of the way or to even help pick up a few things is definitely key.
Yeah. If I can get the kids to do anything, I mean, it's just a miracle. Usually I swear to God, they're messing the place up quicker than I can possibly even try to clean it. There's times Callie's cleaning the toy room and then Harrison, my 3-year-old, is literally just dumping shit onto the floor as she's cleaning it, and even quicker than she's able to clean it up. So it's kind of funny. Sometimes she'll be like, yep, toy room's a mess. Sorry. Tried.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if you get it up enough to clean under it and then the stuff, cause you know, it's never going to stay clean. So, you know, you know, even if you weren't cleaning it, stuff was going to be on the ground. So if you can pick it up and get it vacuumed and then let it all back on the ground, then that's fine. At least you know that all the junk that's under there has been, you know, thoroughly cleansed, and it's safe for the kids to play on the floor without fear of, you know, getting some sort of a virus.
Absolutely. You know, my goal, because when you have young kids, I'm sure it's the same way, like, I'm sorry, your house is never going to look like it belongs in a freaking catalog when you have kids. It just, I try to go as close to organized chaos as I absolutely can.
Yeah.
In my life, one of the things I do is I try at home, but because I've kind of lost hope that that's ever going to happen, my car is clean and my office at work is clean. Mm-hmm. Is it the same way with you? Do you tend to be more organized at work or at home?
Neither. I like a clean car, so I do try to keep it clean, but because I spend so much time in it, and then I'll carry things back to work, and then if I know I'm going to need them, I'll keep them in the car, and then, you know, take them either into the house or back to the office or whatever it is. So my side seat next to me usually has some sort of pile of something there that is either paperwork or, you know, I do various projects at the office. So if I have to bring, you know, a tool back and forth or, you know, camera gear or something like that, I usually just kind of let it hang out there and then I bring it in and out. But generally, the car is pretty clean. It does need a good vacuuming now, and you know, the winter time, it's tough to get outside and wash it. But my office is generally kind of a mixed bag. It'll be clean some days, and I'll be good at staying ahead of it, and then other days it'll, you know, I deal with a lot of printing stuff, so there's generally paper of some sort everywhere and trying to figure out the right place to put it. And I'm one of those where I'm always afraid that I'm going to need something as soon as I get rid of it, so I just kind of pile it, and then eventually if the pile hasn't moved, it goes away because I obviously don't need it anymore. So, you know, now's the time.
See, I find that I'm just super, super organized when I'm at work. Part of it's because I can't have piles of, because I work in finance. I deal with people's, you know, confidential information all the time, and I have clients that are coming in to see me as well.
Right.
So I can't necessarily just keep piles of shit all over my desk, but I will, you know, but I keep it in my desk, but I keep everything very, very organized. And, you know, I wish I could do that at home, but hey, kids happen.
That's right. You know, as we were talking about the cool things that, you know, that we do that, you know, sometimes aren't appreciated as we think they are, there's an article that I saw earlier that I shared with you that I just happened to see earlier today that two men of, follicle deficiencies here, and we'll put it in the show notes, but the title of the article is "Bald Men Are More Successful, Intelligent, and Masculine," science says, and it uses a few people in there: Jeff Bezos of Amazon, Kenneth Frazier, Steve Ballmer. Basically, it says that, you know, these are tremendously successful people.
Shit, I'm out of beer.
And they're all also bald. Coincidence? Probably not. Men with bald heads are often seen as more dominant and successful by everyone around them, according to a study of the University of Pennsylvania. So, you know, in thinking about myself, thinking about you, and, you know, I can't help but believe that this, you know, science experiment is 110% correct. I mean, between the two of us, you know, we're about as successful, intelligent, and masculine as it gets, are we not?
Robert, I think you're onto something there. Yeah. If anybody were to describe me, I think, you know, three words that they would use would be successful, intelligent, and masculine.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about it.
And good.
I mean, we're making a podcast drinking beer. I mean, how much more manly does that get? I got a thing of jerky over here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm dry here, I guess I have to resort to the water.
You and me both. So I guess next week we start drinking two beers during the podcast then.
I'll bring a cooler downstairs.
I have a micro or a mini fridge. I could really fit that down here and just kind of, you know, just kind of tap at it as I need it.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. But, you know, I need it in the frosted glass and all that stuff. So I'd have to figure out how to make it happen.
Do you drink out of a glass bottle, or is it just frosted glass?
I will
do. If it's already in a glass bottle, will you pour it into a glass?
Absolutely. I pour it into a glass that's been in the freezer.
That kind of guy.
And, yeah, I like it in the glass. Everything's better in a glass. We've got a whole cabinet full of glasses and then a whole cabinet full of plastic cups, and everybody drinks out of plastic. I'm the only one that drinks out of the glass. So
I wash my kids with the plastic cups. That's it.
No, everybody else uses the plastic, and it's, you know, I mean, it's like the straw thing, you know, you don't use straws, you know, the plastic, I think, and the straw taste just, it takes away from whatever it is that I'm drinking, you know, except for a milkshake or smoothie or something like that, there is no straw, but the beer is kind of the same way. It's got to be in a glass. Now, I recently started, and that's something that Melissa is very confused by, but we've always been bottle drinkers, but the more beers have come out lately, specifically over the last couple of years, because evidently the cans keep the taste of the beer, they keep them fresher, whatever it is. But a lot more beers are coming in cans, and I won't drink it out of the can unless, you know, I'm like finishing off the rest of it, you know, at the bottom that won't fit in the glass. But it's always got to be in a glass.
No, if it's in a can, I will pour it into a glass.
Yeah.
It's got to be glass, though.
Yes.
Only sissies drink out of plastic. Write this down, kids. If you're listening to this and you're drinking beer out of a plastic cup, or really anything out of a plastic cup, and you're not at a college sorority party,
that's right,
with a red cup in your solo cup in your hand, you should really question your life goals at that point.
That's true.
I agree.
So the other thing I wanted to ask you about, because I saw something the other day that I saw it happening at such an extreme that it made me want to ask you. We're living in here in the DC area, and the traffic is horrendous. It varies from day to day, but there's always so many people out there that, and even the road that I drive to and from work is straight. You know, there's no turns on it. Everything is as straight as could be. Anyone in the DC area, it's, you know, Route 66, and it's straight. Even being straight, there are still pockets my way home in the same exact spots every day that slow down to a stop, and then we'll be back up to 35, 40 miles an hour, and then it'll slow down and stop. And it's not like there are exits, and this is even in the left lane of a 4-lane road, and the exit is on the right. It still stops, and it boggles my mind. Think, you know, we got to move out of here, and we got to find a place that people can drive straight. Is it the same up there? I mean, there's still areas, if you have straight roads up there, you know, in this frozen tundra you live in. Is it something that's as complicated there as it is here?
Well, I mean, most of us, you know, drive around in snowmobiles, so which are pretty small and easy to maneuver.
Shoot the gap with a snowmobile easily.
Oh, first, I speed up. That's how I shoot the gap. No, I mean, asshole. No, I
thought my list of crazy things too, by the way, but I scratched them.
Calling people asshole?
being called an asshole.
Oh, you don't like that?
No, I mean, I don't get called it much, but I haven't.
I embrace it.
That's right.
Embrace the asshole and
strong personality, strong willed.
Embrace your asshole.
That's right. My inner asshole. All right. So all right, your snowmobile.
Tangent.
Yes.
No, so I think there is some traffic congestion up here. I mean, there's people moving. I mean, the Detroit area, the Tri-County area around Detroit, it's a big metropolitan area. It's one of the largest metropolitan areas in the country. But it's rather spread out between a couple different counties. So it's not the congestion. The issue that I have is that Michigan has shit roads, and they repair them they repair and replace them with more shit roads. So then by the time they've fixed this patch of shit on the road, the stuff that they've previously fixed is all messed up again. Yeah. So it seems like, you know, they joke, and I'm sure they joke about this in Ohio and, you know, freaking North Dakota and stuff like this too, but there's two seasons in Michigan, and it's winter winter and construction season. Those are the two seasons that we see up here. So when it's not freezing cold, they're doing some sort of construction. So I feel like the construction stops things up more than anything else. And I feel like they're always they do it just to screw with me, but like there's always some sort of construction happening right around my routes to and from work. Regardless, and they always seem to do it in such a way where trying to circumvent it by taking other roads just makes it even worse.
Yeah.
So that I think is more of an issue up here, because, you know, they don't invest enough in the roads. We don't have toll roads in Michigan or anything like that. So I think there's not enough revenue coming in to make really nice roads. So they make shitty roads and just keep repairing the hell out of them, like every couple of years and in different patches and things like that. So that's what I run into.
And what they're doing down here now, they started around the DC Beltway that goes around Washington, DC, but it's basically this continuous loop that goes around. It's like 65 or 66 miles all the way around, but there are portions of it that are so congested that they added additional lanes to them that are tolls, but they're called hot lanes. And basically you say, hey, I'm going to go to work and to drive this stretch, and if you want to use this lane that's guaranteed to not go below 45 miles an hour, you can pay an additional fee. And the additional fee on, you know, weekends or whatever it is, if you're going to go a longer distance, could be $2-3. It could be as high as 20. So in order for you to get where you're going, if you want to kind of like bypass the traffic, you can hop on this hot lane, and it has a little tag that is like, you know, got a sensor in it that you go under a little reader. And you can go drive these long stretches of road to save yourself quite a bit of time. But again, it can be quite a bit of money. So if you're going to use this to and from work, and it's going to cost you $10 extra a day each way, you know, to be able to get home to your kids or, you know, anything you got to go to the airport, any of that sort of thing, it's going to cost you. They're getting ready to on the Route 66, I think this year, in some portions, and then it's going to expand out. But it's basically going to be pretty much on all the major roads around here. So if you want to, you know, the traffic is bad, you can get off on this or in your usual commute. You know, that it's going to get quite pricey. So, you know, if it really works here, I wouldn't be surprised if it starts to go to other areas like, you know, Detroit and that sort of thing, where you're trying to get a lot of people in the right area, and you figure, okay, well, if it's really important for you to get there quickly, pay $20 or $10 or whatever it is, and it's all based on volume, and get there, you know, at 45 miles an hour or more.
Yeah, we'll see.
But the other thing that I wanted to mention to you, so the guy that I saw driving, and there's laws in here, pretty much in this area, so DC, Maryland, Virginia, about texting and you know, using your phone while driving. Virginia, I think, still lets you. Well, I guess I should know because I live here. You know, let you at least still hold the phone, but DC and Maryland don't. This guy had in driving on 66 in you know, morning traffic, and it's probably 25 miles an hour. He's got a phone in each hand, almost like he's got his old phone in one hand and his new one in the other. And he's almost like he's transferring phone numbers from his phone book or doing something with both phones, trying to drive down the road. And I thought, man, if traffic isn't bad enough and he's going slower so that, you know, he doesn't crash into anybody. But I just couldn't believe it.
It seems like you can always tell when somebody is distracted while they're driving.
Yeah.
And they're probably... it's probably texting more often than not. When I see that and I actually see what the person's mm-hmm. doing, it's texting. They're always going like 10 miles under the speed limit,
yeah. 10 car lengths swerving behind.
They're swerving, you know, all over their lane, and yeah. it's just crazy to me. This is exactly why I need to go ahead and get Donald Trump rich and then just take a helicopter everywhere.
And they always try to hide it too. Life they keep goals. The phone down like near the bottom of the steering wheel, like you can't see the phone, but you always see it. Then their chin is down and they're kind of looking down, and you can tell. So, oh well, I just get out of their way and keep going about my business, hoping that a police officer will eventually catch them.
They haven't figured out how to use Siri yet.
Yeah,
which, by the way, I'm a master at using Siri. She doesn't understand anything I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
you can get her. You can get her to listen to you.
At least call her up and get her to somewhat send some sort of message that's, you know, for the other person on the other end of the conversation to decrypt.
That's right. Well, I think that's it for this week. I think next week we can maybe turn the tables a little bit and talk about the things that our wives do to drive us crazy. So I don't know if, you know, that's really a risky thing to put out there, but
revenge.
We can think about it and see how it goes, but it could be fun.
I feel like I was attacked. I attacked myself this week.
Yeah. I attacked you a little bit at the beginning, and I definitely feel bad for that. There'll be flowers coming your way this week. So keep a spot on your clean desk clear and
maybe another Star Wars bobblehead.
that'll be a whole other topic, because that can definitely take up some time to go over those.
But again, loyal listeners at home, appreciate you listening to us. And as always, let us know what you think, and visit us at thetwobobs.com and on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast.
Yes, sir. And then if you feel like leaving us a voicemail, the number is 530-882-BOBS. 530-882-2627.
What's that with the numbers, Robert?
It is. And I have that memorized too. But if you just put it in your phone book, you know, that's something that's easy to do. Another thing that we really appreciate it, and Rob mentioned it towards the beginning, was iTunes. The more we can get iTunes subscriptions, feedback, you know, as far as, you know, leaving the ratings, even if you don't type anything out, we have, you know, a couple in there now, but there's actually more star ratings than there are typed ratings. So don't feel like you gotta, you know, leave any sort of message that's going to be read. I mean, even just giving us a 5-star rating or 4, whatever it is, you know, hopefully it's 5. And if it's less than 5, let us know why. We definitely appreciate those, and those will help us get, you know, boosted up in iTunes and get the word out a little bit more. And again, continue to share the website, and let us know if you have any feedback. Contact page on the Two Bobs website will lead you into many different ways to get a hold of us, and everything is appreciated. We couldn't do this without you, and thank you for all your support so far.
Take care.
All right. Have a great night. Bye-bye. Bye.
preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel B. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.